Amen. Called to serve. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus, Lord of the Church, and Chief Shepherd of our flock, the flock. So thank you for coming and for blessing us with your presence and your prayers this evening. It is a wonderful gift to know that this service and the participants in this service have been prayed for a lot. So thank you for that. And I would also like to thank those of you who have been praying and are watching from a distance. We know that some of you wish to come but couldn't, so thank you. Thank you for your interest and your prayers in this service, in this time. You know, it is a real privilege to participate in the work of God in the gathered body of the church. And I believe that the Lord is doing a wonderful work in our midst. I believe that what the Lord is doing is just another step in following what we believe to be God's will for us here at Center. You see, so much of what we do, the educational program that we involve ourselves in, from early childhood through high school, the Sunday school, the Bible school, the many things that are done are done with the thought in mind of developing leadership that will carry the torch into future generations. And so it's exciting for me to participate in a service in which we have a number who can be in the lot. Of course, it might have been nice if the church could have, with one voice, said, okay, we know that this one person is who should serve us. But no, instead, there are four who are qualified and capable, and half a dozen more that could have done the job very well as well. And yet, and so it is a great blessing. And I just want to affirm those of you who are not sitting on the front pews tonight, but have been serving God faithfully where he has called you. And that's what it takes, so many different gifts to make the church work and to make a church function like it should. And so everyone is important in the work of the church. And so it is with a deep gratitude that we come to this place this evening and share in this. It has been a great blessing to enjoy the inspirational messages that Brother Ronald has brought to us. On Thursday evening, Ronald spoke how that we are all called to serve. He talked about the various usages of the term deacon in the New Testament, and how that the various forms and usages relate primarily to serving and to ministry. He spoke about what constitutes the call and how we balance the sense of call, of personal call, and the call of the church. Then on Friday evening, he talked about the qualifications of the deacon and of his wife, important considerations before we give our nomination. He also talked about how that the Lord will enable those that he calls into his service. And we're so grateful for that enabling power that the Lord gives. Then this morning we heard how that the Lord provides for his people, how that the Lord works in the gathered body, provides strength both to will and the can do to what he desires. Talked about how the gifts of the Spirit are for the benefit of the body, not just for personal advantage or that kind of thing, but it is for the growth and purpose of the body. The desire is to equip all of God's people for ministry, so that we can corporately show Jesus to the world. And he reminded us that God has given us the gifts that we need to accomplish his purposes at Center. And the question is, just how will we use those gifts? And if we don't exercise the gift that God has given us, will that then mean that there might be a deficiency? I'm not sure, but I think it behooves us each to do our part, where we are, what we can. So this evening we want to focus on being called to serve. Now it is not unusual for someone to feel himself inadequate or unprepared for God's work. You know, there are just a number of intriguing examples in Scripture of those that God used in his service. Some who were really quite reluctant when God called. And right now I'm thinking of three examples. Amos, the prophet, faced very serious opposition from Amaziah, the priest. He was facing opposition for the words of warning that the Lord had given him against Jeroboam and the children of Israel. In fact, Amaziah wanted Amos to leave and never come back to prophesy again. And here was Amos's response. And I identify with this because I'm a farmer. Amos 7. Amos answered and said to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" You see, Amos recognized his humble beginning, but more importantly, he knew who had sent him, and that was of essence here. Now, the second example is Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah that even before you were born, I had a plan for you, and that he needs to prepare himself and speak to the people exactly what he tells him to say. Jeremiah 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying," this is in verse 5 now, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.' Then God proceeded to tell him exactly what he should say to his fellow Israelites. And then further follows by saying, 'But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them.'" And so God is saying, now, if you shrink back in fear, then I'm going to just make you even all the more afraid. You know, it's difficult to walk into a crisis situation and know what to say or do. And these are the times that it just is extra important to just lean on the Lord for minute-by-minute guidance and grace. And often, there's no script to follow. But God says, "Do not fear." And perhaps it's almost counterintuitive, but God says, "You be afraid, it's going to get worse. So fear not." Sorry. That's example number two. And we also remember the great difficulty that Moses had in accepting God's call to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's just a whole story in itself. And we could spend the entire evening just drawing lessons from how Moses argued with God. But we won't take that time. But it is a good story that is worth time and has been a great encouragement to me. In fact, I've mentioned this because these three examples have all been a real encouragement to me, and particularly so in the early years of my ministry. There's also numerous examples in the New Testament of people whose lives were dramatically changed and outfitted for ministry. We could say that the disciples were a ragtag group of men who came from a variety of vocations. But once they were energized by the Holy Spirit, they became a powerful witness for the Lord. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy, who was young and timid, to be strong in the grace that the Lord provides. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you may turn to that if you wish. We'll read the first 7 verses. I just love this scripture. There's a number of things we could take from this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In this passage, we see a number of exhortations. The first is to be strong in the grace that the Lord provides. Secondly, it's to communicate and connect with faithful men in the congregation, I believe, with the gift of teaching, who will be able to teach others as well. And thirdly, to serve the Lord Jesus with just simply an undivided loyalty, and to enjoy the fruits of his work. You see, the Apostle Paul was grateful for the Lord's call on his life. He said in 1 Timothy, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And often this verse has been a real encouragement to me. As I've sat down to study, and I didn't know how I was going to find enough time to study or do what I needed to do, it still has been a good discipline for me to just say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for enabling me, for counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry," because it becomes an avenue of blessing. But Paul continues further. The picture doesn't look that pretty in a way. In 1 Timothy 1:13, he says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And so Paul was grateful that God had placed him into the ministry, not because of his high credentials, but because he had experienced God's mercy for his sinful past. And he was experiencing the abundance of God's mercy that was at work in his life. That's why he was grateful. And that's why I'm grateful that the forgiveness and mercy of God reaches each of us, that wherever we are in life, God can clean us up, and he can change us, and he can help us bring honor and glory to him. In fact, he closes this passage further by saying, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." And that's who we're doing it for. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus, for whom we honor and serve. So God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. I believe that. I am so grateful for the team that I have been allowed to be a part of these past 14 years. I'm grateful for your prayers that have been such an important part of God's enablement for us. I said 14 years, but actually it's less than that because of the possibly year and a half that we were given reprieve from ministry following our daughter Anya's death. During that time, we were shown virtually every possible kind of kindness that exists during our time of grief. And Rebecca and I will always be grateful for what you did for us in that time. And I will never be able to repay to the team either for the opportunity and blessing that it was to have that reprieve and not be called upon to minister at a time when the very foundations of our faith were shaken and we found it difficult to trust in God. So to my fellow ministers, thank you. And to each of our church, thank you. So pardon me if I've gotten too personal here, but I'm looking forward to having one of you join the ministerial team. And you probably have some personal apprehensions, and I have some apprehensions too, because I don't know what transition looks like. And I'm expecting some turbulence, but I guess we just at some point need to become willing to accept the turbulence that comes. You know, in regards to retirement, I've been told that it is more difficult to climb down the ladder than it is up the ladder. Although, I will say that I don't like the analogy of a ladder, because what we're talking about is serving the church. And so we're not really climbing a ladder. We're working at being servant leaders. And you can make a lot out of this thing of being servant leaders and how wonderful servant leadership is. And it works quite well until you're treated like one. And then that's where true servanthood really begins. So may the Lord bless your servanthood, whoever of you that it is. But we want to move forward on what we consider that is best for the future of this body of Christ. And it's wonderful to be part of a plan that is much bigger than just ourselves. And so I look forward to sharing both the responsibilities and the blessings. The blessings that come from being, from the privilege of serving, but most importantly, being prayed for. Now there's an old cliche that says, a lot can get done if it doesn't matter who gets the credit. And it seems that wherever there is active work in God's kingdom, the enemy is also present. The enemy was even present in the upper room when the disciples were bickering among themselves who should be the greatest, even during this time when Jesus was facing death. Warren Wiersbe said, Satan was in the upper room, and he has been known to attend board meetings and committee meetings, although he never answers the roll call. And so we need to stand against the enemy and his subtle attempts to inject thoughts and attitudes that militate against the Spirit of Christ. But the blessing is in knowing that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And part of humility is in serving loyally with the team. And in serving loyally with the team, it's not like being put into a blender where we're all homogenized and poured out. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about. But it's more nearly the kind of thing of knowing who our enemy is, and knowing who our commander is, and reporting to our commander, the Lord Jesus, for direction given through his body, the church, and through our brothers, and standing shoulder to shoulder to accomplish the task that needs to be a task, that needs to be accomplished. That is the part of loyalty that we don't want to forget. It's about Jesus, and it's about serving him. And now a few more comments. I realize that some of you just are feeling like you're in a glass bowl. You're in a glass house, like in the fishbowl, and everybody is watching. Well, as time goes on, you'll become more accustomed to that feeling. And it's okay. But it is God who girds you with strength and makes your way perfect. And we just need to keep focused on him. You will be given the gift of time. You will be given time to adapt and to adjust to your new roles. Some of you in the interviews that we had indicated some wrestling with God. Wrestling with, well, what is my call? How do I fit into this? How is this? And in thinking about this, I'm thinking about Jacob and how he wrestled. And he wrestled all night. And he said, I will not let you. To the angel, he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And I believe that has been happening for each of you, that you haven't let go until you've been blessed. And if you have more wrestlings coming ahead, that's okay. Just don't let go until you find the blessing. And when you leave from having received the blessing, you may have a limp. But it's okay to lead with a limp. God is not asking anything from you but what you are right now. And he only asked that you be faithful and you respond to the Spirit's prompting as he gives that. I believe that God will give you the strength that you need. And I believe that he will accomplish his good purposes, even tonight and in the coming weeks. Let us bow for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your provisions of mercy and blessing. Just thank you, Lord, for your great plan, your plan of redemption that has included us and that has gifted us as a church with these gifts for men who have agreed to serve you as the church calls. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you. We just ask for your peace that passeth all understanding. We ask that you just guide and move among us as we quietly wait upon you. We ask for your peace, your blessing, in the precious name of Jesus, whom we serve and for whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.